is a highlight reel level finish here. In lightweight for ZM versus Mike Davis, both these guys on like a nice long win streaks, but pretty quietly. And in women's flyweight, Jasmine Jezzadovicius versus Mayra Bueno Silva. Kind of interesting because Jasmine's, she's always in there. And you know what? For a while there, she was in and out of the flyweight rankings, you know, whether due to a loss against like a fairly high profile opponent or just like attrition or anything like that. But now she's stabilized. She's ranked number 12. And it's like, okay, well, great. Is it a top 10 opponent? And it is kind of, because Mayra Bueno Silva recently in 2024, beginning of 2024, fought for the vacant women's bantamweight title, lost that fight, and then lost her next fight against Macy Chiasson. So she's coming to flyweight. She's currently the 7th ranked bantamweight. This is kind of an interesting fight because I guess if Silva wins, now she's a ranked flyweight. And it's, we talked about this in the other, in the co-main and that too. Jasmine wins this. It's a win over kind of a name, but you know, it's not moving her up the flyweight division probably.
I think it's a good statement win though, if she can get it right. Like, cause when you look at what Jasmine's been able to do so far, we've got, you know, she got derailed by Tracy Cortez after, you know, a nice win over Miranda Maverick. And then she put in three wins in a row. The thing is, those wins are like still kind of the lower level, though. When you look at the opponent she was able to beat, it's not, she doesn't have that statement win, and she's still looking for that statement win. And I think this could actually be a statement win if she gets it. What she's going to have to do, she just has to stay away from the submissions. If her submission defense is tight and she can, you know, kind of utilize striking, stay out of trouble, I see her being able to get a decision here. And she's not going to get like outstruck on the feet like she did, kind of an outpointed and decisioned like she did with Tracy Cortez. So I think she could get this. I'm worried because of the submission threat of Bueno Silva, but I think Jasmine is good enough to be able to defend that. So I'm gonna call Jasmine here.
Jasmine's good at everything. I think that like her real strength is actually like she's a very good grappler. So I mean, like, I just don't see this as being the competition. Like, I don't see she's going to get outpointed on her feet by Mayra Bueno Silva. And I think even if Bueno Silva does take this fight to the ground, I think Jezzadovicius has enough ground skill to compete with her and get the fight back to the feet. So I like Jasmine here. She's been very consistent.
Yeah, that's what she needs to do. She's probably is the better striker here. Silva's fought levels of strikers like Raquel Pennington and Holly Holm and that are like higher, but you know, she's not a particularly great striker herself. She wants to get the submission. Jasmine can get submissions, but she shouldn't be playing around down there. That's a pretty low percentage move, I think. If she can keep it on the feet, which she might be able to do, she can pick up the round standing. I think that's the game plan. And she's the favorite too. Pretty nice. She's a -225 favorite in this fight. And you're right, Greg. It's if anything, it's a statement win if she gets it. In featherweight, Bogdan Krod versus Lucas Alexander, and in heavyweight, Hamdi Abdelwahib versus Jamal Pogues. As far as like a fight night goes, like this not being a pay-per-view, as far as a fight night goes, there are some names on this card. There's some good fights on this card. There's more good fights on this than the following week's UFC 312 probably, but they're not all great. So Greg, you're a busy man with a young child. You do your Pearson's Point segment where you look at a card and try and decide where is the best time to sit down and start watching a card to maximize your time and enjoyment. What do you think of this one? Where do you start watching this?
God, I wish the Jasmine fight was higher up.
It's so low.
It's so low down on the list, and I have no interest in like the next 5 fights. So it's tough for me to do. I wouldn't really be conforming to the history of how I do this if I were to pick the Jasmine fight, just based on the fact that I'm a big fan of hers. Five fights that I don't care about. It's too much to ask.
That's only 3 hours of sitting around.
Oh my God. am I super interested in the Alaskarov-Muniz fight? Even I wouldn't say I am. I gotta go Pavlovich, Biggie Boy.
Yep.
I'm having trouble justifying. Yes, they could be fun. Like Vinicius is dynamic. There's a bit of intrigue, but I don't know, man. Like, I can't lock in any of those fights other than like Jasmine. And then I got to go all the way up to Pavlovich and Biggie Boy just because I want to see a really cool knockout. The top two fights I'm super into. I love the main event and the co-main event. Love those fights. After that, it just falls off a cliff.
I'm definitely willing to watch the main card here, I think. Like, the top three are great. Relative to being a fight night, you're not going to get a better fight night than that. And I do find some interest in Olivier and Nurmagomedov. Obviously, Oliskov and Muniz I like. You know, Naimov and Khan Offaly, you know, like, if we could swap that with Jasmine, I'd be much happier. But, I mean, like, 5 out of 6 on the main card, that's about as good as you're going to get.
Yeah, I know. This history of sticking women's flyweight fights as low as possible on the card. It's not just in Saudi Arabia.
Especially consequential ones. Like, I know we're a little bit biased because we're Canadian, but, like, I really think that it's an interesting fight for that division. It's two fighters who are legit ranked fighters.
Well, Silva fought for a title 1 year ago.
I know. Like, it's – I yeah. But they are Saudi Arabia, so I'm kind of not surprised.
So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll talk about a bit of the weekend MMA news, and particularly the new GFL promotion.
Hey guys, this is Andres at Pitbull Arlovski, and you listen to Hammer.
And we are back at 93.3 CFMU. You can also find us at thehammermma.com. And that was the Pitbull, Andre Arlovski, one of our all-time favorites, who I guess is going to go pluffle, or whatever it's called now.
The Global Fight League. There has been like rumblings of these guys for a little while, and it's like, oh, they're gonna go back to, was it the IFL? Going back to, like, even before we started doing the show, like, the IFL was like a team-based promotion in like the 2007 or something like that. And, you know, they tried that out. They did like teams and seasons and all this stuff. And there's rumblings that's what this new GFL promotion is going to do. And I think the general thing was like, oh, this will be a lot of talk, and, you know, there'll probably be nothing coming of this. And then they started announcing the list of fighters that they've locked up and are going to be part of a draft, and they're going to have different teams stemming from different countries and that. And then they'll do a full draft. Only some fighters will get drafted, and then they'll go into the season, and the names just started to add up. Former UFC champion after former UFC champion, cut UFC and Bellator fighters just like left and right, till the names got into the hundreds of fighters that they claimed that they had locked up. Some fighters are like, yep, I'm in this. And some who they announced that were going to be involved in the draft are like, I've never heard of these guys. I have no idea what they're talking about. This has been like a baffling last couple of weeks as they get closer to this draft that happened last night. Big names, former champions, are getting drafted who, like, people didn't even know were going to be part of this thing. But the draft was hilarious. So the teams we have for Global Fight League here, it's Dubai, Los Angeles, London, Miami, Sao Paulo, and New York. So, like, totally international, you know, three US, and then Dubai, London, and Sao Paulo. And so this draft with these hundreds of people, I said, who's the first person I saw who mentioned it? Our friend Adam Martin on Twitter is like, goes, this is insane. Do you think they've already drafted all these guys and the draft is just going to be a work? Like, it's going to be fake? And then, sure enough, it was. Like, talk about crystal ball. He called this thing to the T. So yeah. As this draft is starting to kick off and they're starting to announce names and that, the GFL accidentally flashes the completed draft, like the top 10 picks for the top 10 picks for 5 of the teams and halfway through the New York team, along with a big text here banner at the top. So like an unfinished draft document. At the beginning of the draft, can you imagine if you're watching like the hockey draft or something, and then like 1 minute in, they give you all the end results? It was all fake.
Yeah.
So the thing with drafts is, to have a draft, you need to have teams that are competing with each other, because that way you're like, oh my God, my team, the Maple Leafs, might actually get to make a good pick here and pick up someone awesome, or they could spend it on a defenseman again, like they always do. But when you have like one company, like, this is like Raw versus SmackDown draft. Like,
that's what it is. Yeah, you're right.
Think about the logistics of if this actually were real and not a work, right? You had these hundreds of fighters who were supposedly part of this draft. That means you would have had to retain at least like agreements with all of these fighters to go in and like some form of like compensation or whatever. Like, I just don't see logistically how a real draft like this would actually be.
I love where you're going with this, because I was thinking the same thing even prior to yesterday. My thought was, as they were announcing all these names, and names that are like retired guys, guys I never expected to fight, my thought was they probably offered these guys like $1,000 or something. Can we use your name for this draft or whatever? And then if we need you, then we can maybe sign you for a fight. Like, maybe everybody got like a little something just so they could use their name to boost this up while they look for funding or something, like with the intention of most of these names will never fight.
I don't even know.
Speaking of which, can I go to a fun thing here?
Yeah.
This comes from a journalist named Ovin Vitanje, who I'm stealing from here. So thank you, Ovin. Some stats here for you guys.
Okay.
The average age of the GFL roster is 35.7 years. The oldest team is Team Miami, which is 36.7. The number of fighters who are 40 or older are 32 fighters that are 40 and older, which is 26% of the roster. The number of fighters who are 35 and older is 74, which is 61% of the roster. And the number of fighters who are 29 or younger is 15, which is only 12% of the roster. And there are three guys tied at 47 to be the oldest fighter on the roster.
And that doesn't necessarily negate what I was thinking too, because it's like, you know what, if you're just trying to get funding, you know, if you're trying to be like, to make a splash, get some investors, make an initial splash, just throw the name. Frank Mir's too old and injured to fight. Throw him out there. He fought Brock Lesnar. Use these big names. Maybe they're never going to fight, but use this because what you're looking for is to get people to buy into this thing. And, you know, maybe some of these guys aren't going to fight. Here's one. So if you look at Sao Paulo, the Brazilian team, Douglas Lima is the number one pick. Sure. Hey, you know, accomplished fighter, former Bellator, you know, like that. Sure. Right. But second one's Fabricio Werdum. He had a statement in the UFC antitrust suit. Like, he's too injured. He needs the money now. Do you really expect Fabricio? Maybe I'm wrong. Do you really expect him to fight here? Or is his real, despite being drafted number two, his real value here is, oh, they have Fabricio Werdum. I've heard of him. Can I invest in this?
Yeah, because is there a schedule?
There are no confirmed fight nights, venues, a schedule, nothing yet, just a draft.
Yeah, there's a draft, and then there's like it looks like here there's like a point system, right? So they're like based on wins and stuff like that, but there's no like actual season where it's like, okay, every team is going to fight, you know, 20 fights or something like that. Like, it, and again, that not every fighter said that they're going to fight, right? So it could be like, you know, guys who actually are going, able to go, like, I don't know, a Sun Sao or something, fights like four times. And
well, also, you have to work out. You also have to work out weight classes and stuff too.
So the weight classes, I'm looking at the teams and fighters right now, and this might be like wrong or old or whatever. But you got the six teams. There's 20 fighters per team, and there's 10 weight classes, two fighters per weight class on each team.
I mean, assuming this is a big assumption that this actually takes place, if you've got two guys per team, then yeah, each guy fights one of the other bantamweights from the, like, a bantamweight on one team would fight one of the other bantamweights from each team, maybe fights all five of them over the course of a year or something, right?
If you take out all the noise and nonsense and just look straight up at, you know, the teams and the grid that they've got, this is out of Wikipedia. I'm just having a look here. The grid actually makes really good sense. Because as I said, two fighters per weight class per team, right? For a total of 120 fighters for six teams. And you'd say that, and then you look, they have like the scoring system, you know, and everything like that. It looks legit, but there's no schedule. So if you take out all the mess, then it looks legit from that standpoint. But then you start looking at who the fighters are, and you're like, oh, there's no way this guy's going to fight. Or there's no way it's going to happen. Or some of the fighters are in the UFC currently. Like, Josefine Lindgren-Knudsen is on the list. Did she get cut recently? I don't know.
She must have got cut.
Must have got cut, right? Like, there's guys on here, guys and girls on here, who I thought were still UFC fighters. So, yeah.
The best to me is, like, the managers and the head coaches. Because, like, they're, some of them are exactly the people you think they'd be. Like, Lyoto Machida, Andres Pernetis. Okay, makes sense. Thiago Alves, Conan Silvieri. Okay. Wanderlei Silva, Rafael Cordero. Sure. Cain Velasquez, Javier Mendez. Well, Cain Velasquez, as far as I know, is, like, in serious legal trouble for attempting to shoot a dude. And there's a good chance he's going to be in jail. And then, like, London is Luke Barnett and Carl Prince, and you're like, what? How is Luke Barnett on this list? Like, what are you talking about here? And then, like, New York City is, like, Ray Longo and To Be Decided. And, like, you would think it would be Chris Weidman.
But he's drafted. Like, he just retired from the UFC, like, 3 weeks ago. And actually, Greg, I'm looking up Josephine Lundgren Knudsen. It was discovered yesterday when she signed with the Global Fight League that she was no longer in the UFC. So you did not miss a cut announcement from her. Yesterday was the announcement.
It's like, what's my prospect of the year doing? Or maybe she'll like win a title or something, and then that'll redeem my horrible pick.
Okay, so like Dubai, their number one draft pick or whatever was Tyron Woodley. If you want like a name, it's like, okay, well, Tyron Woodley, he's a former welterweight champion, he's somewhat of a star. If you want to win fights and win a season, 40-whatever-year-old Tyron Woodley is not a guy. You get like a young guy with no name.
Well, yeah, when you're talking about 40-year-old Tyron Woodley versus like 47-year-old Rashad Evans, like, what are we talking about here? Like, everyone on this card is ancient. And I also want to, like, this whole city draft thing, I think it would be absolutely amazing if the wrong city just wanted to sign someone. Like, can you imagine if you're like, you know, Tyron Woodley, and they're like, hey man, sorry, no, you got drafted by Sao Paulo, you're going to have to learn Brazilian. Like, you're moving to Brazil, dude. Sorry, that's what it is. You got drafted.
Chris Weidman has to move to London. He's like, what? There are names. Like, you can't say that there aren't names. Like, you know, Luke Rockhold, Ben Henderson, Tony Ferguson, Chad Mendez, Andre Lasky. Like, Frank Mir is nothing. Rashad Evans, I mean, all respect, big star, former champion, excellent fighter. I'm picking a top 100 light heavyweight in the world to beat him today. You know, just some guy.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Many of those in the roster, so.
There aren't that many great fighters here. Yeah, Holly Holm. Yeah, like Kevin Lee. Like, just Patricky Pitbull, fresh from Bellator. I don't know. Like, I wanted to do some look because it seems like a scam, right? Like, the whole thing just seems like the wacky draft and fighters saying that they didn't know they were in the draft, and just like the weird logistics and the no fights booked and all that stuff. So I'm like, what's the deal? Who's behind this? So I Google Darren Owen. And I'm like, how do I know this name? How do I know this guy's name? So I Google him, and about like a handful of results down below, he's a guest on the Hammer MMA Canada 10 years ago, our spinoff show about Canadian MMA with Rob Beavers, who's the matchmaker for Unified MMA now, and talking about his work with World Series of Fighting Canada at the time. I'm like, oh, okay, that's how I know him, because I edited a radio show with him like 10 years ago. And you know who was the second guest on that week's episode? One David Abraham talking about Substance MMA. Yep. So, I mean, it's not like that Darren Owen is like a stranger to MMA. You know, he's involved with World Series of Fighting. But it's kind of like when you think of World Series of Fighting and like their whole, like before they became, they sort of turned into PFL and all that sort of stuff. It was like the gimmicks of different countries having their own promotion and PFL having their seasons and all this stuff. Like, I guess the idea, and same with IFL back in the day, it's pretty tough to be the next UFC, you know, and do that. But so you kind of need a gimmick to get that, to get people talking and to sort of, you know, like make some headlines and things like that. And you look at PFL right now, PFL was all about those seasons. And 2 weeks ago they announced, oh, we're not doing that season stuff anymore. We're just going to have some regular tournaments every once in a while. The $1 million prizes are out. They took it as far as they could, the weird gimmick, and now they just sort of settled into a regular MMA promotion that can be fueled with Saudi money.
Yeah, so, except that they're called like the Road to Dubai Champion Series.
But, you know. Exactly. Yes, exactly. So it's like, I guess that's the idea. I guess you need, unfortunately, I guess you need a gimmick like this and gimmicks like this to get your foot in the door and attract some big money. And I don't know, like having no events booked or anything like that, it's like, it's crazy to have all these names. Everyone's talking about the list of names and the surprise people. Like, you guys mentioned wrestling earlier, WWF and WCW. It's like, where's Chris Weidman? He just left the UFC. Josephine Lundgren Knudsen, she was in the UFC yesterday. Like, it's kind of funny to see like all these names sort of pop up and it's making some headlines and stuff. But like at the moment, there's nothing to this yet.
Well, their senior advisor was the first president of the new XFL. So there was
the original one with back in like the late 90s or whatever, early 2000s. And then Vince McMahon brought it back. And then I think then The Rock pick it up. Which one of those XFLs is it?
So it's the one that started in 2019.
Okay, so the one that Vince McMahon brought back, and then they had to close it down due to COVID.
Yeah, I think that was, yeah. So because it was, yeah, done in 2021. He was finished. So Jeffrey Pollock, he's like a sports executive, right? He's kind of been all over the place. Little things, sports gaming, you know, XFL, executive roles in different organizations. Like he kind of likes, you know, I'm not surprised that this is the type of guy that would get involved in this because he dips his hands in all these different organizations and tries to, you know, get it off the tarmac and stuff like that. So I don't know. I don't think it's like destined to fail. I don't even think it's entirely.
Oh, it's destined to fail.
It's in level of failure though. No, listen, level of failure though. Like the thing is, as we've seen with you guys at PFL and stuff like that. So right now there is so much, still so much sports related money in, you know, the Middle East, right? That people are still trying to tap into and open up and that sort of thing. And I don't think it's going to be a massive success, but I also don't think it's going to be like a complete and total immediate failure. I think it'll have like a slow run and then it might wind up like, you know, it might wind up like the XFL where it hangs on for a little bit, or it might wind up like PFL where it settles into this kind of steady state where it can still kind of tap into that market.
So here's my thing. And I've said this for years and years now, and like no one listens to me, but it's fine. For you to have a really successful fighting league, you have to be able to make the argument that your fighters are arguably the best. And to Bellator's credit, there were points where they could make this argument. So for instance, Michael Chandler was a guy that Bellator made the argument that he's the best lightweight in the world. And he came over to UFC and he proved that he was up there, even past his prime. And, you know, you could look at a guy like Patchy Mix. I don't think that if you said to me, hey, man, I don't know, I like Murad, but I think Patchy Mix is the best bantamweight in the world right now, I think that you can make a point. But if you were to look at me and say, like, hey, man, I don't know, like, I'm really excited to see, like, Rashad Evans versus Shogun Hua in 2025 to see who's the best light heavyweight in the world. No, you're not. Like, look, first of all, that fight's going to be dreadful. It's going to be bad. Both guys are so old. They're so retired. They're so damaged. It's not going to be a good fight. Second of all, because they've been retired and like people have seen them lose in the UFC, their drawing power is not what it is or not what it was. So like, yes, you've got the names of two legends, but can they still draw as they did at their heyday? I don't think they can. And I mean, like, the other problem is to get Shogun and Rashad Evans to have this light heavyweight fight, you have to pay them. And that's the big problem with all these companies is they always have to overpay to bring in these big name talents. Like, I'm surprised Fedor's not in here. But like, you know, like these hundreds of guys that you've got, 300 guys you put on your roster, 100 of whom are like serious legends, you're going to pay these guys. How often are they even going to fight for you to pay them? Like, it's not going to work out well. You've got to get rid of some of these old guys and start trying to just be like, look, we're going to bring in a whole bunch of young dudes that we don't have to pay much and run it like that. Because to be honest, ONE FC and like Ryzen have done that for years. And there's a bunch of good underrated guys in Europe, in Poland, in Russia. We're selling out stadiums and you don't have to pay them.
That's what I'm telling you. I think these names, these guys most of them will probably never fight. They're essentially on retainer to use the name value. And then once these guys actually start running, if GFL actually starts running fights, it's younger, cheaper guys. I'm not saying they're not going to pay anything, but younger, cheaper guys are going to actually do the fighting while the names bring in the headlines and the talk. We wouldn't be talking if they drafted 300 guys and it wasn't Chris Weidman, Holly Holm, Anthony Pettis, Junior Dos Santos, like these guys, we wouldn't be talking about this at all. So I think the names are there to garner interest, and then you're going to wind up with just fights. Because honestly, I don't want to watch these guys fight. How many of these guys are too injured and too beat up? The Gegard Mousasi maybe is close enough to like and healthy enough that he can maybe fight. But Tyron Woodley, I don't want to watch fight. Luke Rockhold, I don't want to watch fight. And it's not because they're not great fight. Tony Ferguson, like, we shouldn't be watching these guys fight. They're too damaged. So, to each pick a team, which is our team, which is the team that we're going to support in GFL.
As the resident guy here, who's a little bit off white in my coloring, I think I got to go with Team Dubai.
Ah, you took mine.
First off, we've got Cain Velasquez, one of my favorite, probably my favorite all time fighter, here managing the team with a great coach. And let's look at my roster here for Dubai. I got a Nurmagomedov. I got Rockhold. I got Henderson. I got Tyron Woodley. Like, this is some good stuff, man. I like
Tanner Bowser would beat almost all of these heavyweights.
Yeah, Tanner Bowser's in this house. Like, I like it.
Oh, man. Ah.
I'll tell you who I'm not picking. Los Angeles.
Oh, LA looks terrible. I like Miami, actually. And, you know, JDS is at the top of that list. So I've been a JDS fan for a long, long time. So I like Miami.
Pettis, then, Romero never ages. Like, those are some good picks.
And then, you know, you got, oh God, look at this. I don't know where to go from there. Maybe London, just because there's a lot of guys on there who could likely still fight, who aren't like completely gone. Yeah, maybe London.
I should have picked first because London's definitely the second best pick.
Sao Paulo. Sao Paulo's got some guys on there.
Take London. I'll take Miami. You can. Take
all
Miami.
Right. So okay, well that's GFL. We will stay abreast of GFL. There's no Bellator anymore. Bellator's gone. So GFL will be.
Hold on. So sure. I picked Dubai. Greg picked Miami. You're picking London.
Yeah.
We've got to be fair. We've got to assign a team to Liam. What do you think Liam gets? Los Angeles, Sao Paulo, or?
Well, he could pick. He's got three left. He could pick.
If I know Liam, there's one thing that he loves more than anything, and that is Sage Northcutt. Team Los Angeles. I'm saying.
I'm not going to force a team on Liam. He's already lost Mikko Rantanen, so he can't shaft him.
So next week, Liam should be back. We can see which team is going to be his GFL team. And actually, there will be good timing because he'll get to recap this UFC fight night, Adesanya versus Imavov, which, you know, looks like a pretty fun fight night, and be able to preview UFC 312. The UFC is heading back to Australia, and they are bringing two title fights and nothing else.
Thank you for listening to us. You've been listening to us at 93.3 CFMU. You can also find us at thehammermma.com.
Find me on Twitter at Steve Jeffrey. If you go to thehammermma.com, there are links to stream, subscribe to our show in a bunch of places, including mmapodcast.com, the iTunes store, Spotify, you name it.
All right. Have a good week.
Support local independent media and get great deals with a Friends of CFMU card. For only $30, you get discounts and bargains all across the Hamilton area at various businesses. All you have to do is donate a minimum of $30 to 93.3 CFMU. For more information, just go to cfmu.ca and click on Friends of CFMU in the footer.
Friends are what we use every day. Most of the time we use it in the wrong way.
Support CFMU and get great deals too. Use the card at Arcade, Amigos, Big B Comics, Downtown Bike Hounds, and Dr. Disc.
Some are okay and they treat you real cool, and some mistake your kindness for being a fool. We like to be with...
Cosmic Repercussions on 93.3 CFMU, bringing you the best of 4/4 electronica and everything in between. Produced and hosted by Ree every Wednesday from 7:30 to 9. CFMU, Ree redefining radio in your community.
Good evening and welcome to Cosmic Repercussions on 93.3 CFMU. We broadcast from McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. We broadcast locally on the FM dial at 93.3 and around the world on the web at cfmu.ca. This week, the show is going to be very more jazzy-oriented electronic music than I typically do. Now, I do introduce jazzy elements in other shows, but this time the entire show has very jazzy elements to it. Now, what sparked this was because I received a wonderful release from a Canadian artist. Her name is Anita Eccleson, and she has released an album called Winter Gala. And there are very jazzy interpretations of classical Christmas tunes that we know. Some of them are just kind of winter type themes. It's a very beautiful album. It was very difficult trying to choose a track. So I've chosen two tracks to start the show. We will hear Nights, the Gala Remix, and Rest. So continuing the jazzy theme, we will hear from Kruder and Dorfmeister, Jazz Master from the K&D Sessions, 0dB. We will hear three tracks, actually, from Bongos, Bleeps, and Basslines. We will hear Bongos, Bleeps, and Basslines on the 1 and 3 and Ticaro. We will hear from France, Bertrand Bergelot, and from The Sound of Music, we will hear Le Pays Imaginaire and O.C. Clouds Electronique. We will hear from Nicola Conte, Basso Perdu, and Jazz Pour Dadine from Basso Perdu, Digby Jones, Pina Colada Jazz Mix from Café Del Mar, Karma Coma, Time Birds, The West Remix from the Time Birds release, Kenobi, Lost in Time from and It's Only a Dream from Over the Horizon, Apache and the track Scripture from Café Del Mar. Back from Café Del Mar, we'll hear several tracks. We'll hear Apache, Scripture, Tiny Tunes, Will You Catch Me, Illuminations, Cookie Raver, and Lux's 100 Billion Stars. Thank you everyone who has been listening locally from across Canada and from around the world. A full track listing will be available on the podcast page at cfmu.ca. So let's start things off with Anita Eccleson and from Winter Gala Nights on 93.3 CFMU, redefining radio in your community.
Thank you. Are you swinging? Are you swinging?
mis yeux dépendra un mot.